Okay. That's a summary of that. Now I think we shall begin our first panel, which is on the right to return. We have the first speaker, Rabbi Israel Weiss. He is the spokesperson for Metorah Karta and the Zionist Orthodox Jewish Movement. He's based in Brooklyn and has campaigned vigorously against the occupation of the Holy Land. Rabbi Weiss was one of the three rabbis from the Metorah Karta that joined IHRC's team at the World Conference Against Racism in 2001 in Durban, South Africa. During his trip, he publicly embraced the father of 12-year-old Muhammad Al-Zurra, who was murdered by Israeli soldiers in 2000 at the start of the Second Intifada. And Rabbi Weiss will speak to us in regards to the Jewish view of the right of return. Without further ado, I would like to invite Rabbi Weiss to give his speech.
God's help, I pray to God that he bestows upon me his wisdom and allows me to convey this to this August gathering, and that his word, his truth, should go out to the world and to sanctify his name with this. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. They have asked me to speak about the right of return of Palestinian people. First, I want to thank Masood, the Islamic Human Rights Committee, and all the others who were involved here, the organizations, for honoring me and giving me this privilege to be able to speak here. And for all of you, I thank the who have come to listen. It is for us a great honor, because we know that with our words, by revealing the truth, breaking this myth that is prevalent throughout the world, we are sanctifying God's name, so I thank you all. The fact of the matter is that the issue called the right of return speaks about a problem, a very unfortunately, a great tragedy for the Palestinian people, a great tragedy, really, for the Jewish people. For us, it is a double tragedy, because what is being done to the Palestinian people is not only human beings that are suffering, it is being done in our name, in the name of the Jewish people, in the name of Judaism. This is a stain on Judaism, it's a stain on holiness, and we are obligated by God to try and to first correct this misnomer, to clarify the truth that this is nothing to do with godliness, to correct the truth, and to try with God's help, as God requires of us, to always try to accomplish. God does the, ultimately God is the one who accomplishes, but we must do what we could to correct the situation. The word right of return that is being taken away from the Palestinian people speaks about an issue, about a religion, really. Although some people around the world want to argue that this is not, does have nothing to do with religion, it's human rights, and it's people, the Israeli people, who are living in the land now. And therefore, the question of religion is really not to be brought up. And then other people say, no, that it has to do with religion, and it definitely is a question of religion. But many times in the United Nations or other places, people say they don't want to hear, it's not relevant about what the Torah has to say, what the godliness is involved here. It has nothing to do with this, because it's practicality. It's people that are living in the land, and people who are not living there now, we just have to look what's practical. But in truth, if you will, just listen to the words that they are speaking about, right of return, then you will understand that insidiously they are bringing in the Israeli the Zionist community is bringing in the issue of religion. But they just don't want to bring it to the forefront. They only use it whenever they have to put fear into people, that the people are afraid to start a fight with God. And therefore, they don't have to usually speak about it openly. Many times when I went to the United Nations, although over there it's purely human rights issues, they don't want to speak about religion. But at the end of the day, when somebody will start saying that it's pure racism not to let the Palestinian people return, and how could you take the right away from a people to return to the land, they'll always end up with that, what do you mean, the Jewish people were there before, was God given to them a few thousand years ago? So therefore, we would just like to first of all clarify on the point of religion, on the issue of why they say that the Jewish people throughout the world, if they were not born in the land of Palestine, really doesn't matter, they always have the right of return, while the Palestinian, the Arab people, don't have the right of return. Even if they lived there, even if it was their houses and they have the keys to the houses. So let's just clarify, first of all, the religious issue here. The time is very short, and I blame the Zionists again for that. They don't let us talk even when there's so many issues to speak about, and unfortunately we can't. But we'll try with God's help to just bring up a little bit of this issue. An overview, and very short. According to the Torah, according to the Jewish belief, and we are talking here about Judaism, which really Judaism is a belief. It's not a nationality. It's something which was known throughout the generations as not a nationality, not a materialistic issue. It was a belief. And in this belief, God gave the Jewish people, made a bond with the Jewish people, commanded them to be you should be a kingdom of priests and the holy nation. And when God gave us this commandment, he said, every human being is to inherit the world to come if they're righteous. We believe that every person has to serve God. But we accepted an extra yoke, an extra bond of 613 commandments of the Torah, where we must be a nation of priests. And when God made this bond with us, he said, I am giving you my land, my garden, where God's Spirit rests. God's Spirit is all over the world, but especially rests in the land of Palestine, the land of Israel at the time. And he said, I'm sending out the people who were there prior to you because they have defiled the land. And in order for you to be able to stay in this land, you must be on a higher elevation of pureness, of holiness. And if not, then you will be expelled from the land. This is replete many times that says this in the Bible. Anybody can open the Bible, the Old Testament, and see this. And this was God's stipulation with the Jewish people. Eventually, the Jewish people accepted this stipulation, accepted this bond with God to watch the commandments. And eventually there was the prophets, as again you can read the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all the prophets, they all spoke about how God was warned them through the prophets that they are not up to the level of holiness that is required, and they will be expelled. Eventually they were expelled. And when God expelled the Jewish people from the land of Israel, he specifically put them under oath that they are forbidden to return en masse to the land. As individuals, they can return, but not en masse. They are forbidden to rebel against any nation or make any attempt to end this exilic existence, the decree of God. The Jews accepted this for 2,000 years. And then a movement called Zionism, started by Theodor Herzl, people who are non-religious, people who abhorred the Torah, who not only left the folds of Judaism, but they detested Judaism. You can see this in their writing. They decided that they want to, that they are sick and tired of Jewish suffering. Instead of looking that any suffering that happens to a human being is from God, and it's just to remind us to repent, they excluded God from this equation. They excluded God from anything that happens on this world. Everything is material by them. And therefore they said, the reason we had to leave Israel 2,000 years ago because we were physically weak, which is blasphemous. We know that it's clear that anybody who's God-fearing and studies the books of the prophets knows we were sent out because of our sins. It has nothing to do with physical ineptness. But they, of course, as I say, were heretics, And they decided that the problem was a materialistic problem, a physical weakness. The solution, obviously, is to be physically strong. And therefore, they'll make a strong army, a strong nation. Now, let us understand, this wasn't really the whole issue here. The Zionists who decided to create the State of Israel, the Zionists who they called Zionists because of Zion returning to the land of Palestine, Zion, Jerusalem, it's referred to the Torah, Jerusalem and Zion. These people, they really weren't just interested in having a piece of land. Their goal was to take this Jewish nation of God-fearing people and to transform them, uproot the religion from them, to transform the concept of Judaism as a religion into a nationality, something which is void of godliness. This was their goal, their ultimate goal. And to reach this goal, they didn't care how they, who they mow down, if they'll mow down Jews, if they'll mow down Gentiles, if it will be Arabs, anything in the way goes. This was their ultimate goal. Of course, one of the issues, as I say, is that they have to have a safe haven. So they decided they will go to Uganda, of course, because that was practical, a very lush land. But they realized that the Jewish people won't follow them if they go to a land in Africa. What are the people going to follow them for? Some people may follow them, but they won't get the Jewish nation to follow them. The Jewish people, though, who were expelled, who are true to God, we know that we were expelled from the land of Israel, but eventually we believe and we yearn and we hope not for to return to have a state, to have a piece of land, to have a property. This is not our goal. Our goal as a Jewish people is to serve God, and the ultimate service of God is when God's name will be glorified throughout the world, when the whole world will recognize one God. And this will happen, we believe, ultimately God will make a metaphysical change in the world, where all the world all of a sudden will wake up one day and recognize the one God and serve Him in harmony. And then all people will go up, according to the Jewish belief, to Palestine and serve Him in harmony. This is our goal that we pray for. We are forbidden to make any attempts to bring this about, only through prayer. So we yearn and pray for this. This is what we strive for, but we do not have to take any action, and obviously we don't take any action to have a piece of real estate, to have a materialistic piece of land. So the whole concept of just taking over a land is strange to the Jewish belief. But the Zionists, when they decided that they want to make this religion into a nationality, and they realized Uganda won't serve their purpose because the Jewish nation won't follow them, they decided it's very, very smart and practical. They counted on the ignorance that people will not look further and see what it says in the books, that it was taken from us, and that we are forbidden to go and take this back. And whoever is living there, the indigenous people, they are the rightful owners of this land, without a question. It's their land totally. God gives them the right to be there. Eventually, all humanity will return. But that's a whole different story. That will happen without me having to convince anybody. It will happen when there's a metaphysical change in the world. So in other words, according to the Torah, it is very clear. The land is forbidden for us. It's a forbidden fruit. It is forbidden for us to attempt to take it. So what does that mean? That means the right of return. And what they say, that the Jews have the right of return and not the Palestinians, is a farce. It belongs to the people of Palestine. It belongs to the indigenous people, the Arab people. So therefore, when you come to the United Nations and you have human rights activists who are afraid to talk about this right of return, you have human activists because they're afraid they'll work for Rwanda, they'll work for Darfur, they'll work for different issues which are very important. But when it comes to Palestine, people are a little afraid because they're afraid that maybe they're taking away from the Jewish people what's theirs. They don't want to start up with God. We want to inform you that not only are you not starting up with God, you are doing God's work when you're standing up for the right of return for the Palestinians. Let me inform you that when Masud was not sure if it should be Islamic right of return, plain right of Islamic human rights, this human right, it's not human rights, it's godly rights. It belongs to the Palestinian people because this is what God, who created the world, says. And we, as Jewish people, we would be forbidden to have this land, even if it would have been a desolate land, an unsettled land, because we are forbidden to have even the smallest entity, our own kingdom, because we are under a decree of exile. And again, we are never waiting for a state of Israel in the future either. And it happens to be they just compounded this terrible crime, this terrible tragedy, because it happened to be that this land was a settled land. There were Palestinian people, there were Arab people living amongst, together with Jewish people there. There were Jewish people living, I should say, amongst the Arab people. The vast majority was the Arab, the Muslim people living there. And we know, and the Jewish community knew all along, and we never strayed from the teachings of the Torah. We know what's rightfully theirs. We are forbidden to steal from the Palestinian people. So it's a double tragedy. Unfortunately, our wayward brethren are straying from the Torah and going away, even if it would have been desolate, and certainly in this case where it was settled, and they are committing one crime upon the other. When they are oppressing these people, expelling them, subjugating them, this is all contrary to the picture of the Jew who must be a nation of priests, who are commanded, Mahu Rachum Abatutei Rachum, that we are supposed to emulate God, and emulating God to be compassionate. Every facet of the Torah is being broken by the Zionists. We want you to know that. We want to, there's no time left. But the first rabbi, MSI, www.mkusa.org, you have a lot of documents. You have one of the main documents, we could say, which was in the UN in 1947, before the imminent creation of the state. And I spoke to rabbis who were there at the time. I had the privilege of speaking with our senior rabbis today, Rabbi Leitner, who was a student of Rabbi Dashinsky, was there when the United Nations sent a delegation to Palestine to ask the community what they want. He was there, Rabbi Leitner, he lives in Brooklyn, he should have many healthy long years. And he said, I stood this with Rabbi Dashinsky. And we sent a letter to the United Nations, document A-AC-14-44, to the Secretary General of the United Nations, where he writes, the Jewish Orthodox community of Jerusalem, comprising 60,000 souls, object to the plea of including Jerusalem in the Jewish state. They didn't call it the state of Israel, they called it the Jewish state. And its residents becoming automatically citizens of the Jewish state. Our community demands that Jerusalem be an international zone under your protection. When they saw that they had no word on the United Nations, no power over them, and they were going to create a state, they said, I'm the chief rabbi, at least in Jerusalem, give us a free Jerusalem. We want, and its residents be free citizens in the national zone of Jerusalem. They wanted to live amongst the Arabs, which is the godly right, the godly wish. This is what the really Orthodox Jews, and it's signed by Rabbi Dashinsky, Chief Rabbi Dashinsky, in the name of the Ashkenazi community. This, and the fight continues. We have pictures that just occurred. You can't see it from there, but on our site you can see it. Our Jews are being beaten, till today, they're being beaten, bloodied, bludgeoned, and people are killed. This is all in the name of Zionists against the religious community. There are hundreds of thousands of people who are still standing true to this. Unfortunately, there's some religious, many religious, who, not because they are Zionists. In fact, they don't send their children to the army, they don't fly Israeli flags, join the government because they have to have representation, because they were being strangled by the existing government, just as Palestinian people have representation. Unfortunately, there's, and these are the ones, some of the right, that you find in the government say, don't return land to the Arabs. Why? There's no time to get into this, but I just want to touch upon this. Many of these people, they have the fear factor. They're being told that the Muslims want to kill the Jews. That the Muslims constantly say, the Jews, they want to kill every Jew. So even though they're not Zionists, and they will celebrate with us the dismantlement of the state, but they're afraid to return, not because they don't support the state, but they're afraid because they've been the propaganda of the Zionists. So therefore, I want you to know that it's very important, for a few reasons, to understand. To clarify, the problem here is not the religion Judaism, and it's many hundreds of thousands of Jewish people still stand true with you. We feel your suffering. It hurts us, every bit of blood, every Palestinian child and every person that is suffering there. We feel, and there's many Orthodox people, Jewish people, who are suffering along, who are alone beaten. And we have a rabbi over here who was himself in prison and was beaten over there, who came to share with you. But it's important for you to know this difference and clarify when you speak that it's the difference. It's not a religious difference, even though you mentioned Noah before and differences. We have a total different interpretation of the Torah, but that does nothing. It's not a religious conflict. We've been living for hundreds of years and thousands of years together. It's not a religious conflict. It's just what the Zionists are trying to ensnare the world and make it look like a religious argument that can't be solved. Let the world know it's not a religious argument, where there was never any human rights activists, and nobody to stand on. We were living together in peace. Since Zionism, the inception of this political movement, this transformation of religion into a political movement, a godless entity, this is the cause of suffering. Be clear in your words, it will help you as Muslim people to be recognized in the world as civilized people, which the Zionists are trying to misconstrue. And we know the truth, that you are civilized people. You have been our safe haven, our close friends with the Jewish people. And we are appreciative for hundreds of years. Where have we found safe haven? Amongst the Muslim nations. And we are all amongst the religious community, the Jewish community. We know this. We are thankful for this. So be careful and always speak that, so they can't accuse you of being anti-Semitic. Say, we know the truth. Say, don't accuse us of being anti-Semitic. Don't ask us what it says in the Quran about Judaism and so forth. Because this existed before it was Zionism, we were living in peace. Let's talk this issue. If the rights, the inalienable, godly rights of the Palestinian people is being taken from them, nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with a religious conflict, it has nothing to do with this. The rights, these people were living in a land, it was their land, and it should be returned to them. Don't try to confuse the subject with religion. This will, as I say, also, this, the truth in and of itself, is something which is a sanctification of God's name of knowing. It will make that we should again cross that bridge, the rift that was created between Jews and Muslims, we can then cross, so we should again be able to live together in peace. And as I say, the Muslim people themselves who are suffering from the wrong portrayal of them, it will be corrected if we clarify that it has nothing to do with that the Muslims are being vicious people like the Zionists are saying. On the contrary, they're just begging for what's right. We pray, and you should all pray together with us, because ultimately, as I say, accomplishment is only by God. We pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of this state of Israel, this illegitimate state, the transformation back to the self-rule of the proper owners of the land, which God will make it happen. We only know is anything that's against God cannot have a long existence. When it will happen, how it will happen, we don't know. So let us pray that the suffering should stop. Let us pray that it should happen speedily in our time. Let us pray for the day when God's glory should be revealed throughout the world, that all humanity will recognize the one God, and that should happen speedily in our time. And we should all be successful in our endeavors to sanctify God. Amen. Thank you.
That was a very, very enlightening speech that Rabbi Weiss had given. And in it, he mentioned, in regard to one particular point, which he mentioned a lot of points there. However, I think the most important thing that he mentioned was in regard to the true Jews vis-a-vis against the Zionists. Okay, he managed to make the distinction, and he says very clearly that the goal of the Zionists is to take and uproot the concept of religion in Judaism and change it to become a kind of a nationality. Okay. And the Jewish goal, in actual fact, in contrast to the Zionists, against the Zionism, is to recognize one God and emulating God and become a nation of priests. I mean, to become subservient to that God, to live in harmony in Palestine with the Muslims and the Christians. So I thought that was the main thing that was really, really captured the whole extent of the speech. However, of course, there are many, many other aspects which we don't really have time to go through now.